Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. And I know that the devil is mad right now. Amen. Amen. We apologize for the technical difficulties, but we are live on the air in Jesus' name. Welcome to the show on today. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. Amen. I give God the glory and the honor and the praise on today. And I got a reason to shout. I got a reason, hallelujah, to praise God. Not for me. Amen. And he's done so much for me, but I thank God for what he did for two other souls on last night. Amen. I'm still filled to the brim. Amen. I thank God first I want to give honor to God who is the head of my life in Jesus' name, giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network in Jesus' name, amen, Apostle Cook, and our assistant, amen, Bishop Carver in Jesus' name, amen. We thank God for both of you in Jesus' name. Amen. And all the Spirit Alive family, God bless you in Jesus' name. Also giving honor to my pastor and my first lady, Pastor William Tuggle III. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. And my first lady Corvette Tuggle, God bless you as well. Amen. I say I'm overwhelmed because of what took place on last night. The Lord really stopped by, showed up, and showed out. Amen. I was in a service on last night. Was the speaker of that young, it was a young people's service, and how the pastor of the church allowed me to speak at this service, and a soul was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And a soul, another soul, was restored. Amen. I thank God for restoration, and I thank God for salvation. Amen. And so today we're going to continue in the blessings of God on today. Amen. I told the Lord, I asked the Lord on today, what did he want me to teach on today? And the Lord said, continue in what I gave you last night. So I'm going to continue, and I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So tonight, or today, I'm sorry, I apologize, on this afternoon, amen, we are going to be talking about a very, very powerful topic today. And the way we're going to talk about this, we're going to break this down, and we're going to look at what thus saith the Lord about this topic. The topic today, it is a very, very powerful, powerful word. It's a four-letter word. It is a four-letter word, and this four-letter word is a simple word, but it is a powerful word, and it goes into the core of our existence. Amen. It goes into the core of our existence. Without it, we cannot live. Amen. And that word is life. That four-letter word is life. We must have life to be able to live life. Amen. If I could go to a scripture just to start us off here. Amen. I'm going to go to John chapter 10, starting at verse number 1, and then we're going to drop down to verse number 6 through 11. Amen. And I believe the Lord is still blessing. Amen. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Amen. Then we'll dive into this topic today. Amen. In St. John chapter 10, starting at verse number 1, it reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Drop down to verse number 6. Verse number 6 reads, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Verse number 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Amen. And in Romans chapter number 12, let's go there real quick and let's see what thus saith the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, a very, very popular scripture, but a very, very powerful scripture at best. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 reads, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And I love verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, as we look at these scriptures, I want to go back to St. John. And the Lord has, in this topic today, I want to say this before we start, that deliverance for the past month, the Lord has dealt with me on deliverance, restoration, and revival. And then he's dealt with me on salvation and holiness. Amen. And these four things that the Lord has dealt with me on is, the Lord told me on last night, he said that these four things are in the room. They're in the room. I'm about to pour these four things out Anybody that needs a miracle in any of these four areas, healing, amen, healing was in there, amen. But anybody that needs healing from their self, healing from a problem, healing just a miracle in general, you can receive it. But there's two requirements before you can even get to where you need to go in your miracle. There's two requirements. Number one, you have to come unto him. And number two, you have to let God do it himself. You cannot do it. You cannot do it your way. You have to do it God's way to receive the miracle that you need in your life. Amen. And so today I want to talk about a life for a life. A life for a life. And if I could subtitle this, I would subtitle it, this topic today. It would be I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. A life for a life. I shall live and not die. On today, as we see throughout the world, we see many, many people living life, and we see so many people grabbing after things for their life, trying to get to that place in life that will bring them bliss, that will bring them utter bliss to where they do not have to live in a place of, I would say, a place of sadness and a place of sorrow and a place of, they want a place of peace in their life. They want a place where they want a life where there is no problems. But because if we go back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, God showed us in his word where life comes from and how life at the beginning was what we wanted it to be, perfect. I hear a lot of people saying, well, I'm not perfect. Well, let me tell you. Before the fall of Adam, man was perfect. Before the fall of Adam. And Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, reveals this perfection unto man before the fall of Adam. And you might say, well, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, what is this? What does this have to do with, you know, my life and perfection of my life? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, it reads, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You might say, well, what has that got to do with it? Is it saying that that God breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils? And you might say, well, Minister Adam, he's talking about natural life. Yes, he's talking about natural life, but he's also talking about spiritual life. When God created the heavens and the earth, when God created the earth, he not only created it, but he created it and it was perfect. Everything God created up until the fall of Adam was perfect. Everything, every creeping thing, the water was perfect, the trees, the grass, everything was considered as perfect. Even man was perfect. But somewhere down the line, when God breathed the breath of life into man, he breathed perfection into man. But somewhere down the line, he gave us something called free will. And he gave us something called choice in that perfection. He allowed us to use our minds. He didn't force man to serve him. He gave man free will, free choice. He gave free choice, and we can see the free choice of man being implemented when he gave Adam the ability to name the animals and the things of the world. He allowed Adam. He gave Adam free will, free choice to name the animals, whatever he wanted to name them. But in that free will and in that, he not only named animals and not only did he name things, but and not only did he name everything, but he did something with that free will that he wasn't supposed to do. He took the life that God gave him out of God's hands and put it in his own. And you might say, well, how did he take his life out of God's hands and put it in his own? One thing, disobedience. It was by the disobedience of Adam that we, and usually when a person does something, I'm going to say this, and usually when a person does something wrong or does something good, it not only affects the individual, but sometimes it affects the people around you. Amen? It affects the people around you. I understand that if I make a bad decision in my home, it not only affects me, but it affects my wife, it affects my children. If I go on a splurging, say, for example, if I got a lump sum of money and I go on a splurging and I got rent due, I got bills due, and I go on a splurging, it affects not that splurge, that choice that I made to splurge my money affects not only me, but it affects my wife and my children. Because now after I've done splurged, I've done lived life and da 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 da, now I got to face the problem of where am I going to get the money to pay my bills? Where am I going to get the money to pay my rent? How am I going to keep a roof over my family's head? That's the problem. Amen? And I say that to say this. The same dynamic that I just referred to is the same dynamic that Adam was in. Because the problem that Adam made not only affected him and Eve, but it affected everything. It affected the bloodline of mankind. Amen? If we look, when Adam chose to disobey God and eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, when God told him not to, it affected everything. It not only affected man, but it affected cattle. It affected the trees. It affected everything. But I can just see Adam in my mind, and had he known that if I do this, this is going to affect everybody, I guarantee you, if he had known that it would affect the entire world, I just about guarantee he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have ate of that fruit. You bite into one fruit and eat of it, this is going to affect the entire world? Yeah, I guarantee you. And this is just my own personal opinion, y'all. This is not scripture. But this is where it comes in at, that we, when Adam did this, it affected everybody. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it tells us that the fall of Adam affected everybody because it brought in sin. And with sin, it brought death. Amen. It didn't just bring natural death. It brought natural death, but it also brought spiritual death. Amen. And I'm going to go there real quick. I'm going to go there just to show you what I'm talking about. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned because of one thing that Adam did. He made one choice. And as soon as he made that choice to eat of that fruit that looked good to his eyes, as soon as he ate of it, he took his life out of God's hands and put it in his own. And the bloodline of mankind was tainted with sin forever. And this left us, that brought a division between God and man. And not only did it bring up a division between God and man, because when man was created, man was full. Man was filled up. Man had perfection. Man didn't want for anything. The Bible says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's because you're following the shepherd. You won't want for anything. And this was the perfection of Adam before he chose to take his life out of God's hands and put it in his own. But when he did that, it brought not only death, it brought not only degradation, it not only brought a separation, but it also brought an emptiness. He was evicted. Man was evicted out of the presence of God. Man was evicted. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth unto record. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 was talking about the children of Israel. And when he said, I call heaven and earth into record, he was telling them, hey, you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice whether to choose life or death. Choose life or death. If you continue to go the way you're going, you're choosing death. But I'm presenting to you life. And I want you to choose life, but it's up to you. And this is where the title of this topic comes from, I shall live and not die. We have to make up in our minds that we shall live and not die. And you might say, well, what do you mean, Minister Adam, by I shall live and not die? I'm living. I got breath in my body. I'm walking around. I'm not dead. There's a lot of people that do not know the way or do not know what true life really is. And they're dead. They're living, but they're not living. They're looking for life. This is why, because of the emptiness that man has when they come into the world because of the fall of Adam, the emptiness that they have, this is why people clamor for different things. And I used to say it, I know my parents used to say, my generation was the microwave generation. And this generation is the microwave generation. I believe all generations are the microwave generation because they are clamoring for what they used to have. And that is peace. But they're looking for life in all the wrong places. They're looking for life in drugs. They're looking for life in drinking. They're looking for life in a man. They're looking for life in a woman. They're looking for life in a career. They're looking for life in a job. They're looking for life in this. They're looking for life in that. But they can't find it. The only way to have the road, to get on the road to true life and find true life is through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse number 6 tells us that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when Jesus saw that Adam had sinned, it brought degradation to mankind. And man didn't know what to do. Because as we read in the book of Genesis, Adam hid himself. He didn't know what to do. After he sinned, he didn't know what to do. So he hid himself. He was scared because he came out of the presence of God. Amen. And the voice of God walked through the breeze, the cool day of the breeze, and God was saying, "Where art thou?" He was looking for Adam, and Adam was nowhere to be found because he was ashamed. It brought shame unto him when he sinned. And sin will do that to a person. After you commit the sin, you feel, there's a lot of people that feel bad afterwards, and then there's some people that just stay so long in the sin that they don't feel nothing. And that's a bad place to be. That's a very bad place to be. And that's a different topic for another day. But the Lord saw the shame on his face. The Lord saw the shame in his heart, but he saw, okay, this is not the vessel that I created. This is not the vessel that I created. This vessel that I created done something. And he asked him, what did he do? And he, you know, he wasn't ashamed. The biggest shame was not because Adam said that he was naked. And the Lord asked him, who said you were naked? It wasn't the shame of him being naked. It was the shame of him, the shame of the sin being on him. It was a spiritual shame. It wasn't a natural shame. Now, he was in shame of him being naked. Because he was innocent. He was in his innocence with God. He was in his innocence. Man had true innocence in God before the fall of Adam. Everything was perfect. There was no need for anything. There was no need for clothes. Because they were in their innocence in God. But when we look at this, when we look at the degradation that man brought on to himself, the Lord loved us so much. The Lord loved us enough and said, there's a separation. And because he kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, he did that. After sin came, he said, no. He kicked them out for two reasons. Number one, the disobedience. He was correcting them, kicking them out. And number two, he didn't want them to eat of the tree of life, because if they would have ate of that tree of life, they would have been in sin forever. There would be no way to get them out. But sin brought a separation between God and man. That sin brought a separation between God and man. And you might say, well, how did it bring a separation? Because, you know, I feel the Lord and I know Jesus and you know, I know him for myself and all this. Well, guess what? It did bring a separation. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 2, it reads, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." This brought separation. God does not dwell in an unclean place. If we have sin in our life, God does not dwell in sin. God, he hates the sin. He loves the individual, but he hates the sin. And God had to show me personally. He said, "Adam, there's two different places in the Bible where I hated sin being in my presence. I hated it. So I had to kick it out. And whatever was covered with the sin, I had to kick that out too. And that was Adam and Satan. That was Adam and Satan. Adam was kicked out of the garden, and Satan was kicked out of heaven. He didn't like that sin being in his presence. And a lot of people say, well, I know God, and God knows my heart, and there's a lot of preachers that say, well, God accepts you for who you are, and da, 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 da. Look, he wants you to come unto him, yes. But he wants you to come unto him and come out of the sin that you are in. Come out of the degradation that you're in. Come out of the bed of sin that you're in. He doesn't want you to come unto him and stay there. That's not what he died for. He died for us so that we might have a way of escape out of sin. And you might say, well, how do I know that? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants you to live life. We in this life, God created us for a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody. I don't care if you are a saint or a sinner. You have a purpose in life. And it's God's purpose. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called, what? According to his purpose. This is why we were created. Have you ever thought of a time where, have you ever thought back in your life where something took place in your life and God rescued you? Where you should have, where that gunshot was fired at you and you should have died, but you didn't get hit. Or you got into that car accident and you should have died in that car accident, but you walked out of that car accident. You were on the hospital bed and the doctor gave up on you and you should have died, but God. And that is because God said, hey, I got a purpose for you. And what is God's purpose for us? For us to live an abundant life. For us to live an abundant life. For us to live a prosperous life. And I'm not talking, when I say abundant life and I say prosperous life, I'm not talking about this thing about what the prosperity preachers preach. I'm not talking about money, cars, and clothes. I'm not talking about that. Well, you have an abundant life when you have a business and you have a good career. That's abundant life. No, that's not. That's not abundant life. You're not prospering. If you're prospering in that area, but your soul is dying, then you're not prospering. And I'm here to, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I ain't afraid to say it either. You are prospering in the natural, but not prospering in the spiritual. You might as well take all of that stuff and throw it out the window because it means nothing. The Bible lets us know that you prosper as your soul prosper. Now, is natural prosperity a good thing? Yes, I'm not knocking natural prosperity. I'm not knocking it at all. Because God does want you to prosper. The Bible says that, this Bible declares that occupy until it comes. It's a good thing. But in the occupying, we must occupy our time getting our souls ready for the coming of the Lord. Your soul is the most important thing that you have in your possession. You might have the biggest house. You might have the biggest car. You might have the best life that man looks at. Man looks at your life and says, oh, man, he's got it all. She's got it all. But if your soul is not ready, If the Lord was to come today, I ask a question today. Would you be ready? If the Lord was to say, this night, your soul is required of thee, because nobody wants to preach heaven and hell no more. Nobody wants to preach that anymore. Very few people want to preach that anymore. They want to preach prosperity and how you going to gain this and how you going to gain that. Teach me something and preach to me something that's going to save my soul and not my pockets. Because all of this other stuff, the Bible declares that what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It is up to us to make up in our minds that we shall live and not die. A life for a life. The purpose that God has given us, we are not able to fulfill the full purpose of our life without, because it was God in the beginning. The Bible says it in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. I know it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but it was at the beginning, God. Before man was created, it was the beginning of life. Whether it be the birds of the air or the creeping things, they have life because of God. But God, and without him, we have nothing. With him, we have everything. Amen? Life is so important, but many people don't value life. We see that in today's world. Many people don't value life no more. They don't. We see, here in Indianapolis, I watch on the news almost every, I ain't even going to say every week now, almost every day somebody's getting killed. Now, I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but almost every day I see somebody that got shot somebody that got shot and killed. Somebody done took their child's life. Something done happened. People don't value life no more. Life is not important to them. And the Bible speaks of this. The Bible does. It declares this. And the question was asked in the Word of God, what is life? What is life? This is the reason why people are living such short lives. It's because in James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, what is life? And the question is answered. The Word of God gives the question, what is life? And it answers the question. It says, what is life? It is even as a vapor, that it appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And then we also see in society that, and the Bible declares this, the Bible declares about what's going on in society. That's why I say, anything you want to know about life, read your Bible. I had an old Sunday school teacher used to tell the Sunday school class all the time, read your Bibles. Read them. You want to know about, it's not just knowing about Moses and Aaron. You want to know about life and how to live life and what's going on in life. Read your Bibles. Read it. Read your Bibles. How do we know that the way the world is, how do we know? Well, Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 and 12 lets us know how society is today. This is why the Lord said life is important, but many people don't value life no more. This is why people don't value life no more. Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 and 12 say, "And then shall many be offended." We see that now. Many people get offended about everything. The way you look, the way you look at people, the way you act, the way what you have on, it offends them. You walk a certain way, it offends them. Amen. And it says, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. We see this today. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Because of sin abounding in the earth, the love of people is waxing cold. This is why God said, "I'm coming and I'm going to give you a way out of sin." He came that you might have life and that more abundantly. And so many people are searching for freedom to live life. Searching for freedom to live life. Everybody's searching for freedom to live life. True freedom lies in Jesus Christ. True freedom to be able to live life lies in Jesus Christ. And we'll get deeper into that a little bit later into the lesson. But everybody's looking for freedom to live life. If we go back in history, in biblical history, we see that the Jews were looking to live life. They wanted to live freely. They were underneath Roman dictatorship, and they wanted somebody to come and free them. If you ever heard or if you ever talked to a Jewish person, most Jewish people, they're looking for the Messiah to come. Even though the Messiah that already came over 2,000 years ago, bled, he's went to the cross, died, and rose again, and then descended back up into heaven. But they still wait. Some of them are still waiting on the Messiah to come because they want to be free from the degradation that they're in. Now, the Lord came to free them spiritually, but he's also coming to free them naturally in the future. He's going to free them. But that's after the rapture, after the tribulation and all that. But if we look further into history, into world history, we look at something called the Holocaust. The Holocaust was the genocide of 6 million European Jews during World War II between 1941 and 1945. The Holocaust. They were in captivity. They wanted to be free. These Jews wanted to be free. They wanted to live life. If we go further in world history, we look at an event or a time in history on March 7th of 1965. An event called Bloody Sunday took place, where 600 unarmed civil rights protesters were charged with batons and tear gas by state troopers after crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, trying to march to Montgomery, Alabama, just for the right and the free will to vote. They wanted to have a life to vote. They wanted to vote. So in these instances, man wanted to live life freely. They wanted to live life freely, and man is always trying to capture the freedom that they once had. But you can only find it in Jesus Christ. That life that the Lord wants to give us is holy and free. It's free. This life for life. Because God had a purpose for your life, but we cannot fulfill the purpose that God has for our life, our true destiny in life, without God. Because we came into this world in sin. In the book of Psalms, David declared that from his mother's womb, his mother gave birth to him in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. And when you come into this world in sin, the Lord can't do what he wants to do with you because of sin being in your life. Now, he can use anybody he wants to, yes. Bible says gifts and callings come without repentance. Amen. A person can have talent. A person can be a morally good individual. But being morally good is not good enough. You got to be God good. Amen. You got to come up to the standard of Jesus Christ. Not Jesus coming down to our standard, but we got to get to the standard of God. That life that the Lord wants to give us is holy and it's free. How is the life that Jesus wants to give us holy? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, between verse 15 and 16, it says, it declares that we should be holy as God is holy. Amen. He first brought this out in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 2. And in verse number 20. And in chapter 20, verse number 7. Amen. In Leviticus. He said, be holy for I am holy. Amen. In the Old Testament, he said, be holy for I am holy. And then in the New Testament, he anytime God says something twice, we need to listen. Anytime God says something twice, or anytime he says, verily, verily, it's very important that you listen. Very important that you take heed to what God is saying. Amen. How is the life that God wants to give us free? It's free. It's free. Because God already paid the price for you. And in John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. Now, a lot of people in the world, most people in the world sense, and some preachers will tell you that are not striving for truth. I'm just going to put it plainly. Some will tell you, oh, it don't take all that. You ain't got to do all that to live holy. You ain't got to do all that. You can do anything you want to do. You can still, you once saved, always saved. You know, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I will say it again. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If you are in sin and you continue to do sin, you are not, and look, you're not saved. And the reason why I say that is a person that is saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going to strive to live holy. They're going to strive to live holy. They're not going to strive to sin. They're going to strive to live holy. Because the Bible says, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The Bible makes it plain. That's what the Bible declares in the book of Hebrews. Amen. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Some will tell you that, hey, it's all right for you to do this. It's all right for you to do that. It's okay. You still saved.
Look, you know, you're covered by grace.
Nope.
You're only covered by grace if you live in grace. You're only covered in grace if you're underneath the shadow of the Almighty. And you might say, well, what about God's forgiveness? God does forgive us. And God does forgive us. He does. But also, he only, now, the Lord is not stupid. Lord ain't dumb. The Lord is not dumb by a long shot. The Lord knows when you truly repented. The Lord knows when you truly repented. Because you can sit over here, a person can sit over there and say, God, I'm sorry, all day long, and do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and keep saying, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. Eventually, God gonna look at you and say, wait a minute. Hold up. Okay, I know your heart. Because there's a lot of people that say, well, God knows my heart. He does. And he knows if you truly repented too. He knows it. God's not dumb. He is not dumb. He is not stupid. He is not senile. He knows you better than you know yourself. And when we do stuff like, when we say stuff like that, when we do stuff like that, that is a dangerous game to play. That's a very dangerous game to play. Very dangerous. Because you're playing around with God. And God is not a plaything. God takes your life serious. He takes it very, very serious. So when man tells you it's okay for you to live any kind of way, it's okay, once saved, always saved, no. Mm-mm. The Bible lets us know about this stuff, about people like that. Because people will come to you and tell you, I've had people come to me. I had a friend before I moved out of my parents' house, you know, my friends always used to ask me, why do you go to church so much? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you? Well, number one, and this is what I used to tell them. Number one, I live in my parents' house. I'm young. I got to do what my parents tell me to do. But after a while, I did not go to church because of my parents. I went to church because God showed me that, hey, I can do something for you. God started showing me his power in my life, and it made me want to draw nigh unto the Lord. I didn't understand when my mother and my father used to say, you need to get up and go to church. Or you're getting up and going to church. I didn't understand that when I was younger. I didn't understand why my mama used to get up in the middle of the night and start anointing all of us in the middle of the night. But now I understand. I didn't understand it as a child when mama used to say, you need to learn how to plead the blood of Jesus. I didn't understand it then, but I understand it more now. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, for when they're old, they will not depart. She was imparting, and my parents were imparting in me the foundation of God, teaching me how to have my own relationship with God. And that's the same thing we need to do with our children. They did it in the Bible days. You don't pay, your relationship with God is not based off of somebody else. But you have to have a relationship with God to be able to see God one day. And a relationship is not one-sided. A relationship is not supposed to be one-sided. A lot of people take the relationship with God being one-sided. God, you're supposed to do everything for me. I'm not supposed to do nothing. The devil is a lie. This Bible declares in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, not unto my mother, not unto my father, not unto my wife, not unto my children, not unto anybody but God. You have to be a living sacrifice, and being a living sacrifice sometimes is not easy. Most of the time it's not easy. And the reason why I say it's not easy is because you have a fight on your hands. You will have a fight on your hands. That's why it is good for us to take the life that God has extended unto man. Amen. He has extended life unto man. And it is good for us to capture that life that God is extending unto man right now. It is good for us. Now, some people might say, oh, we don't take all that. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Because the Bible declares in Jude chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it declares to us that, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We have to contend for the faith. How do we contend for the faith that was once delivered? We strive. Now, because of the fall of Adam, now we're striving for perfection. We have to strive for it now. When it was all easy at the very beginning, we have to strive for it. This is a day-to-day relationship with God. It is a day-to-day battle. And the thing that you're battling is not, anything is of the world. It's the world. It's the world system. It's your flesh. It's the devil himself, demonic spirits. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in high places. These are the things that we fight against. These are the things that we battle against. But in Jude, it declares unto us to contend for the faith. Verse number 4, it says, For there are certain men that have crept in unaware. Certain men. These are the preachers and teachers that have fallen away from the faith. But who were before the old ordination of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, what does that mean, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness? They have abused the grace of God. These are the people that say, well, you're covered by grace. You can do whatever you want to do. They're not so, because the Bible says, the Bible declares, must we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Amen. This is what the Bible declares. And then it declares that unto us. So I want to go to another scripture for you, because I want you to see this. Amen. I want you to get this. Amen. In Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, I marvel that ye are so much removed from him that called you unto the grace of the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Amen. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. These people are the ones that tell you, oh, you know, the only thing that they preach is prosperity messages. They preach to you the prosperity message, the prosperity gospel. And like I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with prosperity, but you prosper as your, the Bible declares that you prosper as your soul prospers. Amen. If you are prospering in the natural but not prospering in the spiritual, you might as well throw all that away. That's what this is talking about. Anybody that tells you, anybody that's trying to preach to you and trying to tickle your ears or trying to tickle your flesh, preaching watered-down messages, that's a problem. And that's what this verse is talking about. These are the people that this verse is talking about. God has given us warning today. Amen. And in verse number 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse number 9 of Galatians 1, it says, as we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be cursed. Let him be cursed. Because we're not supposed to take anything away from the Word of God. We're not supposed to add to the Word of God. That's what these people are doing. They're either taking away or they're adding to, and that's not right. And that's why the Bible says, let them be accursed. They're cursed when they do that. The Bible declares, woe unto them that scattereth my sheep. Do you know what that is? That's judgment. That goes in there with that curse. Amen. That goes in there with that curse. Amen. I want to get some feedback from my Spirit Live family real quick. Right now, in Jesus' name, we're coming to the end of this lesson, but I want to get some feedback from my Spirit Live family. If anybody has a comment that they want to leave or anything that they want to chime in on, a question or anything, you can do that at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I thank God for the Word of God. Amen. I praise God for the Word of God. Amen. I thank Him because He is who He says He is. He is God. Amen. We have a lot of people that will tell a sinner or a saint, don't take all that. Don't take all that. You can dabble in this and still be saved. But the Bible, look, the Bible declares, love not the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 through 19, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What does this mean? Because I hear a lot of preachers. Some preachers nowadays they think, oh, we need this to draw young people. We need this to draw the people. We need to use the world system to draw people. You don't. No, you don't. Give them what they gave us. Give them what they gave us. Come on to the altar. Lay here for a while. Have a tarrying service. Do what they did with us as young people. Get on the altar. Repent. And then after you're done repenting, repent some more. After you're done repenting again, repent again. Amen. You do not need the world to. I watched a video on, I think it was either TikTok or YouTube or Facebook, where pastor, a very famous pastor, during a watch night service on this year, was playing worldly music in his church to try to draw young people. And it looked like a club. It looked like a nightclub. It looked like a whole nightclub. And he had the lights out and people was dancing worldly. They was acting like they was at the club. And he was trying to tell them, let's keep it sanctified. Ain't nothing sanctified about bringing the world into the church. Nothing. You're supposed to be a pastor and a preacher, but you're using the world system to try to draw. You're not drawing. You pleasing they flesh. That's what you're doing. And God ain't in that. You might say, well, Minister Adam, how can you say that? Souls were drawn to Christ. No, they weren't. They were drawn to that church, to that building, because anything goes. But they were not drawn to God, because God don't work like that. You don't have to use the world. If we needed the world, we can't use the world system to draw people to God. If we needed it, God would have put it in his word. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, be ye separate, saith the Lord. He said, be ye separate from the world. So if he's saying be ye separate, but you're saying, oh, we need to use the world to draw the world. No, you do not. Don't you know that will get anybody, there's two things wrong with that in the spirit. Two things wrong with that. Number one, you are held accountable. For example, if I go out and tell somebody, hey, yeah, you can be saved, but you can do whatever you want to do, I'm held accountable for that. The blood is on my hands. That's number one. Number two, you can evict yourself and the person, especially if they saved. You tell them, oh, they get saved and everything, and then you tell them that they can do whatever they want to do. If they can do whatever they want to do in God, they might as well stay out there in the world. They might as well just stay out there in the world. What's the need of getting saved? What is the need of getting saved? It makes no sense. Amen. God will evict a person out of his presence, because the Bible declares that men love darkness rather than light. And this is the reason why men love darkness rather than light, is because they love the pleasing of their flesh. This flesh will get you in so much trouble. The flesh will get us in trouble every time. And it's very easy for us to get in trouble in the spirit or in the natural, but it's very hard to get out. It's very hard to get out of trouble. My great-grandmother told me that one time. She said, it's very easy for you to get yourself in trouble, but it's very hard to get out of it. It's very hard to get out of it. You might say, well, don't you know you can be disqualified by God if you're not honoring him you might say, no, I can't. How? The Lord's going to disqualify me? I thought he loved me. He does love you. He loves you. He loves you enough to send you where you want to go. If that's where you want to go, if you want to be disqualified out of his presence, that's fine. You don't think that God will disqualify a person? Let's look in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. And it reads, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. He called heaven and earth to record this day against you. If you want to live any kind of way, then go ahead. But he's presented death and life unto you. He's presented life and death unto you. And it's up to you. It's up for us. It's up to us to make up our minds, I shall live and not die. It's up to us to choose if we're going to take on the life that God has for us. Amen. And this last little part I want to leave with you. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly that we have the Holy Ghost. The people that have the Holy Ghost, don't take it lightly. Because such was some of you. It is not a place for you, those that have the Holy Ghost, to look down on a person that does not. Don't do that. Please don't do that. That's not wise. Don't skin the individual before you win them. You know you going to hell if you keep doing it. Don't tell them. They know that already. They don't need to hear that. Tell them something that's going to build them up. Tell them something that's going to draw them closer to God. Tell them something that's going to bless them in their life. Well, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, you'll have a better life than what you're living. You know, you can tell them your testimony. You ain't got to give them a Bible study. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to give them a Bible study. You can just tell them about your life. Tell them your testimony. Amen. Don't take it lightly that you have the Holy Ghost. Or that God is giving you the opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost. Don't take it lightly. Amen. Why in the world should I not take it lightly? Because the Bible declares unto us. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6, verse 20, the Bible declares that, let me find it real quick. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20, it declares unto us, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit belong to God. And you are bought with a price. Therefore, you glorify God with your body. You glorify God with your life. What does this mean? How do I glorify God with my life? How do I glorify God with my spirit? How do I glorify God with my body? Colossians 3 and 17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Which means when I go to the grocery store, I do it in Jesus' name. If I'm going to work, I'm working in Jesus' name. If I'm going to loving on my wife or my husband, that I'm doing it in Jesus' name. When I tell my children, when I'm teaching my children, I'm teaching them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When I'm taking them to church, I'm taking them to church in Jesus' name. Everything we do must be about Jesus and the edifying and the glorification of God. That's why the Bible declares to us, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how we honor him. That's how we glorify him. Amen. And so why is there anything else that might lead me to believe that I need to use my life to glorify God, and I shouldn't take the opportunity to be saved lightly, or taking the opportunity to stay saved lightly? Why shouldn't I take it lightly? Well, Isaiah 53, verse number 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Healed from what? Once we receive the Holy Ghost, we will be healed from sin. We will be healed from sin. We have the ability to tell sin no. How do I know? How do we know that we will have the ability to tell sin no? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to tell sin no. Power to tell sin, you know what, you get in my face, I'm going to knock you out in Jesus' name. You have the power to tell sin where to go. You have the power to tell that thought, get out of my head in Jesus' name. Amen. You can receive the life in him through him. Amen. He's still pouring out the Spirit. Amen. He's still pouring out his Spirit until the coming of the Lord. He is pouring out his Spirit. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it declares, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. He said this in his word. He gave it to us. And matter of fact, I want to read all of it. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. He said he's pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. And watch this. He repeats himself. That's why I said it is good for us to understand that anytime God repeats himself, it's important. Amen? Anytime he repeats himself, it is important. He repeated himself again in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Amen? And it reads, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. He's still pouring out his Spirit. He poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, read. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. Or when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. Amen. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. This is how you receive that life. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Well, I'm going to start in verse number 37, and I'm going to read down to verse 40. And this is my last scripture for today. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is how we receive the life. Amen. Verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. You might think, well, since I'm not an adult, because I'm talking to the young people too, amen, I'm not an adult. Is this for me? Yep, sure is. It's for everybody. Verse 39 says, for the promise, which is the Holy Ghost, the promise was the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And God left us in verse number 40. He left us a choice. This is why the title of this topic today was, I shall live and not die. We've got to make a choice. Verse 40 says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untorn generation. Amen. This is it. This is, excuse me, this is the plan of salvation. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And you will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. You will. After the Holy Ghost has come into you, that is the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. The evidence is you speaking in tongues. You will speak in tongues. I don't care what nobody say. The Bible says so. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it speaks of it. Once they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues. They spoke in tongues. Now, do we get saved just for the tongues? No, we do not. But the tongues is the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. You cannot, and the reason why it's the evidence is because just like the wind, you cannot see the wind, but you can see, but you know it's there when it's blowing through the trees. When you see the trees move, you know the wind is there. That's just like the same thing. The wind blowing, and you see it, you see the trees moving, that's the evidence that wind is right there in that spot. That's the same thing with the tongues. When a person speaks in tongues, that is the evidence that the Lord is on the inside of them. The Bible says the power of life and death lie in the power of the tongue. The tongue is the most deadliest member of our bodies. It can speak life and it can speak death. But he comes to tame the tongue. And he uses the tongue to show, hey, I have a hold of you. You have my spirit on the inside of you. This is why in Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, it reads, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Which means if you don't have his Spirit on the inside of you, the Bible declares that you're none of his. Now, you can have some of the benefits of God, but you ain't going to receive all of them. You got to get the Holy Ghost, and you got to get it the Bible way. This is a life for life. He wants your messed up, torn, undone life that you came in with, and it had nothing to do with what you did. You came into this world messed up because of the fall of Adam, like we talked about earlier. But you got to get it. You got to get that sin out of your life. You got to be born again, as it states in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, where Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. The water and the Spirit. A life for a life. A life for a life. I shall live and not die. I pray that you got something out of this today. Amen. This was the message from last night that
Amen.
the Lord had me preach on last night. I pray that you got something out of this in Jesus' name. My Spirit Alive family, I love you in Jesus' name. I thank God for you in Jesus' name. Everybody that is listening around the world, I'm not going to name them, every country that's listening to us, because I can't do a Bishop Carver, but we thank God over here at Spirit Alive. We thank God on behalf of Spirit Alive. We thank God for each and every one of you, and continue to listen to the Spirit Alive Network as we bring you God-given truth. Amen. I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week in Jesus' name next week. Amen. Very safe week. Amen. And until next week, till next Saturday, amen, be blessed. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, since we're on the radio and you can't see me, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. And this is the Transformation Station. This is the Spirit Alive Network, where you can be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen. To God be the glory.